Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 14. This can be found on page 186 of your Pew Bible. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in this city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you an oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them. And carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. This is the word of the Lord. Jeff? Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here with us today. And we just pray that you will open your hearts and your minds to your words as spoken through Jeff this morning. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Again. What did you hear when this passage was read? Did you hear blessing? Or did you hear obey and keep? The word bless or blessing occurs 10 times. The word obey or keep 5 times. So what is the passage about? In chapter 27, Moses had warned the Israelites about the curses that would follow disobedience. Just reading a few of them from verse 15. Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of craftsmen, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. And the list goes on and on. This was to be done in the gathered worship of the people of Israel. The priests, the Levites, were to read out these statements. And all the people were to say, Amen. We agree. Cursed are people who do all these kinds of things that harm others and destroy the intent of God to establish a good society. And now Moses lists the blessings that God would like to shower upon his people. Now, the list of blessings, of course, Deuteronomy is written in the format of an ancient covenant document between a king and a vassal people, but the list of blessings is not that common. Often it's not mentioned. All that's mentioned is all the rules that they had to obey. But Moses includes them here. The essence of what he is saying is written chiastically. That means repeating what he's just said in verses 1 and 2. So chiasms have a form A, B, B, A. So it goes, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord and are careful to do, then B, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. All these blessings will come upon you, A, if you obey the voice of the Lord. Obedience and blessing, blessing and obedience. Our question is, which is it? Because sometimes we read a passage like this and a picture comes into our heads, which may come into yours if you click the button. That's right. A little click there. Blesses. You know, if you're good, chase after it, you might get it. I think we need to modernize that slightly here. And so we have this picture. And we think that blessing is like that. It is an enticement to move us forward so that we will do what God wants us to do. Is that what this passage is about? No, it is not what it's about. In the context of the whole book of Deuteronomy, what God is saying is not that he's got a carrot at the end of the stick, but that he's going to give a pile of carrots for which we have a picture. And the whole point of it is that we should be sure that everyone gets to share the carrots, hence the other picture. I did try to buy it, but when I clicked on it, Shutterstock crashed, so it's got a bit of a blur on it. That's what this passage is about. God will give to Israel a pile of carrots, and they are to ensure that they don't hog them all for themselves like the first donkey, but that they all get to come to the trough and enjoy the blessings. Keep that picture in your head. Because blessing actually, as it turns out, is God's purpose. That's what he intends. Blessing is not to get us to do what God wants. Blessing us is what God wants. Now remember that God had delivered Israel unconditionally. Moses had talked about this in Deuteronomy 4, verse 34. Has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all of which the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? God had intervened for Israel without condition. And that's exactly what we are told about our salvation in Jesus. Romans 5 verse 8. God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God delivers Israel. He delivers us unconditionally. But for a purpose. That we will live in blessing. We will live a different kind of life. That we communally will live as a blessing to one another. We are at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is reiterating the purposes and plans of God and what he requires from his people. How is this plan of his to have a nation that is blessed as a testimony to the nations? How is that going to play out? Because they were to be, as we've said many times, a different kind of society. where justice prevailed and where everyone was provided for. And part of the purpose of this was that they would be a testimony to the nations. Again, we looked at this in Deuteronomy 4 from verse 6, talking about his commands, where he says, keep them and do them. For that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who when they hear all these statutes will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? God had rescued Israel, and as they move into the promised land, he wants to bless them. He wants to bless the whole nation. And he's doing this as a prelude to rescuing all nations. That was his plan. And one of the things that is hard for us to grasp in our time and in our society is that God had intended that the law and the whole plan of blessing worked out communally and not at an individual level. Blessing is communal. God wanted everyone to have a portion of the land and to live on it and to prosper. But he knew that people being as they are, some would flourish and others would not. Some would work hard, others would be lazy. Some would make good decisions. Others would be unwise. Some could face individual calamity. Widows, orphans, disabled people. He also knew some would choose evil. Corruption and greed and exploitation and sexual abuse. That's what he's covered throughout this book so far. But if the people worked together, if they cared for each other, if they acted firmly against evildoers and shared all they had, then the blessing would be a common experience for the nation as a whole. Even in the midst of difficulties, everyone would know the blessing of God. And the point about this is, it's communal. God did not promise that everyone who chose faithful obedience would be an island where everything would go well in their lives and they could live independent of everyone else. This mentality of individualism and personal prosperity that it exists apart from everyone else is fundamentally contrary to the purposes of God. And in fact, it's contrary to his whole design of the created order. All the blessings were collective. God would bless the nation in the cities and in the fields, the countryside. He would bless the womb of women. He would bless the prosperity and the fertility of the fields and the herds. Fruitfulness would be a common experience. He would bless food gathering and preparation. He would bless going in and coming out. He would bless their barns and their endeavors. He would protect them from other nations. And they would be a testimony. And there would be abundant prosperity for all. But nonetheless, there would be the poor, who would end up gleaning in the fields instead of harvesting large crops of their own. There would be laborers who would rely on their wages from those who owned the means of economic success. There would be orphans, widows, the disabled, the sojourners, who would need to be cared for. Not every individual would function as an island. The very nature of God and the purpose of God is that collectively, communally, the people would enjoy blessing together. If the people obeyed God's commands, then everyone would prosper and they would live in blessing, even if at different levels. Some would have more than others for all kinds of reasons. Because the full restoration of the creation will only come at the end of time. This is an interim step in God's overall plan of salvation. And this idea that blessing is communal remains true even in our time, as those who live after the rescue of all people through Jesus Christ. We are to live in communal care of one another. And just like the Israelites, the way we live in community is to be a testimony of the goodness of God. And that is why there are so many one another commands in the New Testament. Love one another, John 15. Honor one another, practice hospitality, Romans 12. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12. Encourage one another and build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5. Bear with one another. Teach and admonish one another, Colossians 3. Comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other, James 5. Do not judge one another, accept one another, build up one another, forgive one another, care for one another. There are a whole list of these. And the great error of our time, and that has recurred in history, is to think that when we receive personal blessing, it's all ours. And the Bible is quite clear that every blessing is gift, and every gift is given to whoever for the greater good, that all will be cared for. God's purpose is to bless. But his blessing is communal, not individual. And that is why blessing is conditional. Now, I understand that this is a controversial thing to say, because we love to talk about the unconditional love of God. God rescued the whole people of Israel out of Egypt before he asked anything of them. Jesus died for everyone before we had earned it. He died for us while we were still sinners. In the midst of all these blessings that are listed in Deuteronomy 28, the same mantra recurs over and over again. If you faithfully obey, being careful to do, verse 1. If you obey, verse 2. If you keep the commandments, verse 9. If you obey, verse 13. Not turning aside to the right or to the left, verse 14. And here's where we hit the carrot and the stick metaphor head on. Is blessing just so that God can get us to do what he wants? There are two parts to that answer. The first is that in the design of the creation, we mediate the blessing of God to each other. God does not function independently of us. He functions primarily through us. We are his hands and his feet. And that allows us to participate in what God is doing in the world. So that sometimes he blesses one person so that she can pass it on, taking the blessing to bless another. We get to be God's hands and feet and voice. And in that process of receiving the blessing and passing it on, the blessing is multiplied. It's doubled. Because one received the blessing and then had the blessing of passing it on to another who then received the blessing. And in that process of passing on blessing, our faith is built up because we get to participate in what God is doing in the lives of others. We get to be the blessing to another. So first part is that we mediate the blessing of God to one another. We both receive and we pass on blessing as part of the intent of God in the society in which we live. I said there are two parts to this answer of is blessing just so that God can get what we want? No. First side, he's using us because that blesses us to be part of what he's doing. The second part of this is that it's difficult if God is blessing people who do evil, because then it looks like he's rewarding sinfulness, which is contrary to his nature. So God does not pass on blessing just to manipulate us. Now, in saying what I've just said, that God does not bless evildoers because that would reward sinfulness, you know that I'm opening a big can of worms. Because we look around us and sometimes we see that the worst of people often seem to experience the greatest of material blessings. We know well, not every rich person is a philanthropist. And this is something that the psalmists agonize over repeatedly. An example is in Psalm 73, reading verses 12 to 14. Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain I have kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. And we look around and we see that it seems that the connection between material prosperity and blessing and righteousness is not that precise. And that's troubling for us. But the resolution of this is that justice will ultimately prevail. And in the present, the righteous get to live with God. A life of presence of God in our lives that will last forever. Psalm 73 verses 27 and 28. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. You see, what God has left the door open to is that as he pours out blessing, people can choose not to participate in passing it on. People can choose to be petty, to be selfish, to be unforgiving, to be resentful, to be jealous of those who have more. He passes blessing to all and gives the same commands to all. Blessing is conditional. By obedience, we each have the opportunity to be God's hands and feet and voice when we share the blessing we have received with others. In disobedience, a person may amass wealth and keep God's blessings to themselves, but they pay a price in their souls and face the ultimate judgment of God. This is how Jesus put it in a parable about a rich fool who decided to build bigger barns for his surplus grain rather than to share it. Luke 12 from verse 19. I will say, this is the rich man speaking. He says, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. See, blessing is God's purpose, but blessing is communal. It's given that we share it, therefore doubling the blessing. And blessing is conditional. And in the purposes of Deuteronomy, God was saying, you, Israel, live this new life. Be a different society. Be a light to the nations so that they may see that you have a good and righteous God. And if you don't, there will be trouble. Let's talk about living it. And I asked at the beginning, how did you hear the passage? How are you hearing it now that we've talked about it? Is it about blessing or is it about obedience? Now, I've tried to make the case, because I think this is what the scriptures do, that obedience is the means by which we live in blessing. And at the practical level, the simple reality is that for each of us, when we are fairly treated, when people are cooperative and kind and generous and helpful, we feel blessed. And we, in a sense, are encouraged into similar behavior ourselves. But when people are stingy and mean and small-minded and unforgiving and obstinate, we feel stressed and are tempted to respond in kind, becoming insular and self-focused ourselves. Just look after me. And these are two fundamentally different ways to live. And God, throughout Scripture, is in fact fundamentally encouraging the first, live generously and thoughtfully and kindly, and discouraging the second, living resentfully and self-focused. But by its nature, that choice is one that is bigger than ourselves. Because we can choose to be instruments of God's blessing, to live out and encourage a loving, other-centered, God-centered, faithful kind of life and community. Or we can be part of the problem we see all around us, people living for themselves, becoming isolated and thoughtless and selfish. Boldly persevering in generosity and kindness and engagement with one another is hard work. And we actually have to embrace the will of God and live in His power to achieve this new kind of life. Because not all our efforts are well received and not all bear visible fruit. We may find people very mean to us when we try and encourage them forward in faith. And in new life. And in fact, sometimes we can feel that others take advantage of us when we're kind and thoughtful and generous. And it's at those times that we do have to keep the big picture in our minds and our hearts. In the present, I walk with God, and in eternity, I will know Him face to face. And that is why we need to encourage one another. And to make it practical, I want to take the risk of taking a series of simple examples that relate to our communal life here. And I'm simply putting out there a picture of a society that we would like to be, that Scripture encourages us to be. We want to greet the stranger, to welcome and include them. You know, it's one thing to say hi and then turn around and start talking in your little clique again. We don't want to be like that because we know what it's like to come into a new community and feel kind of on the outside of things. Part of that is to show an interest in others, to ask them questions, to talk to them, let them talk to us, not just dump all that we want to say on them. But at a practical level, it's part of this is looking after the equipment that we have, the furniture that we have. Don't bash it. Don't break it. If something breaks, let us know. If it's your fault, your kid's fault, replace it. That's a blessed society. Tidy up after yourself. If you go into the kitchen and there's a pile of dirty dishes there, don't just add yours to it. Who is going to put it in the dishwasher? Who's going to unpack it from the dishwasher? Every time we live for ourselves, someone else picks up the burden. Contribute generously and thoughtfully. And I don't just mean financially. Engage, be involved, come on time to things. Respect everyone else's time and effort. Be intentional in participating. Make this a priority. Serve. Serve in your giftings. Sometimes serve just because there's a need. And together, if we are that kind of society, we all get to live in the blessed new society God intends. And to the extent that we're resentful of each other and unforgiving and selfish and thoughtless, and we damage stuff and we break stuff and we don't care for stuff, we all get to walk into a dilapidated building. We all get to try and be the person setting up something and it doesn't work because someone lost the cable. It's together. And the whole point here is that God intends that we live in blessing. He intends and He wants to pour out blessing on us, and He does. But the degree to which we share that and own it and contribute to being a blessing is the extent to which we live the new life. And you see, when we do, God is honored, and people will look and say, there's something there. They have something. What is it? And they will come. And that is how we become a light to the nations. This is what God is laying before us. Let us pray. Now, Lord God of heaven, You do give us a beautiful picture. And yet we know as well that in our own sinfulness, in our own struggles, it's not always easy to be part of Your blessing, to be part of carrying Your blessing to others. So we pray, Lord, for courage and strength in Your Holy Spirit. We pray for forgiveness when we have fallen short of Your call. We ask that we will become the kind of society that You envision, the society that will be in heaven when everyone does Your will and puts others first all the time. We will not lose, we will gain. Give us courage in the presence and faith, in the present, and faith to believe the value of doing as You've commanded, and of holding on to You and Your presence when it's hard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.